Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus to wager. DC, Maryland, and Virginia only. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards pay back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Please play responsibly. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. For help in Maryland, can also visit mdgamblinghelp.org in partnership with MGM National Harbor.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Twerking.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Welcome to the post-game podcast. No Jerry Recco today. Still on vacation, so Rami joins me. Welcome, Rami.
Good morning, Al. How you doing?
Good. I got a couple of good items for you as a young man in broadcasting. One, you're a married fella?
I am.
So this fascinates me because I'm somebody who I never got married. And I believe part of the reason why I never got married was I didn't trust a radio job to consistently have one, and then that it would pay enough to get married, have a wife and children. So I'm sure that played a part in my not getting married, even though at some point I started making decent money and could have figured it out. So how did you gain the confidence to get married when you did not even have a full-time job?
So that's where I always said if I didn't get married when I did, I would never, like, there's no way that I would have gotten married or even met anyone doing what we do, just because, like, think about how many times, and I talked about this yesterday a little bit, where I've come in, do double shifts, work every holiday, work every weekend, how many times I've had to turn down plans with people and not go to things, not do things. So yeah, if I was single, then I wouldn't have even found anyone. But luckily, this was something that I was, you know, I was already with my wife when I started to do this. And then she was kind of like one of the people who was the driving force in me doing this, both supporting me, you know, wanting me to chase it, but also supporting financially with her job, that she's like, hey, I'll help us out while you chase this career. So I think, like, if it was someone else, if it weren't for her and if it weren't for her pushing me, then obviously, yes, I wouldn't be able to even now. Like, I'd say one of the more difficult parts of adjusting to this job is my wife doesn't go to sleep at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
And wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. In fact, with her job, she's oftentimes getting home from parties and different things because she's a makeup artist. So from events, when I'm getting up and she's just going to sleep then. We have opposite lives. And then you have days like today where she has no event. I'll be home by noon and we'll hang out the rest of the afternoon. And that's great. But, you know, I'd say one of the bigger adjustments has been the schedule. But there, two things. If I wasn't already with her when I started this career, I wouldn't be married to anyone right now. And the other thing is, I don't think I'd have this job if I wasn't married to her at the same time, because again, she pushed me and I was able to live, you know, working these shifts and getting, you know, not a lot of money to do them and working crazy hours while she kind of kept things under control in our lives.
Do you feel like that sometimes, like, you know, all relationships have arguments, some small, some big, that you ever feel like, she's got the upper hand here right now because she had the full-time job when this all got started? And
well, there's things I can't ever, you know, complain about. Like, she could buy whatever she wants. You want to drive that car? Go for it.
You can't say, this is really a smart move.
Anything. Yeah, exactly. Hey, I think we should go on a vacation. Let's do it. You know what I mean? So those, I have no say in any of those things. And then, yeah, there are times, like you said, everyone gets into arguments. So there are times that, you know, it's not used against me, but it's like, oh, yeah, some job you got there. You know what I mean? Where she'll have a comment or two. But I've never found it to create too much of like a real, again, in a joking way, in a poking way, stuff like that. Or if you're in the middle of an argument, it can come up. But it's never caused like any real strife, I would say, which is good and also difficult. And also because it was a short time. I've only been here for 3 years. So we'll see how the job progresses with the hours. If that becomes like a major strain, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'll get easier as it goes, but I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah, it is curious how everybody figures it out in their life, right? So like everyone on the show is married, except for me, and just how that has affected relationships over the years, and like how it's because you're right, you're living a different, you're awake and asleep at different times of the day.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably easier if you're married and at least in the same house.
Correct.
You know,
as opposed to if you're trying to date someone, like this is this is not realistic, because when do you want to go out? Oh, 3 p.m. would be nice, yeah, on a weeknight. Like, otherwise, yeah, the weekends are fine, but really I can't do Sunday unless it's in the morning. Like, there is no real time. And then on Friday afternoon, we could go out, but I'll be exhausted.
Yeah, I'll be passing out.
Right, exactly. So, you know, yesterday, because it's all day parking on Wednesdays, my wife met me in here after work. She met me in the city. She was off yesterday, so or worked in the morning, whatever. And she got here, and we ended up at some point, like at like 3 o'clock, I'm like, all right, I got to bail. I told her, I'm like, you can stay, hang out, whatever. I was asleep before she got home, so I don't know what time she got home, but I was like, there's going to be rush hour traffic. I'm way too tired. I'm just falling off my face. We've had, you know, four or five several hours together that have been really lovely, but I got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she was okay with that.
What's funny is the family, like I've probably been waking up at 2 a.m. for probably 20 years, and then probably an additional number of years waking up at like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. What's funny is like some family members get it. Most of them do, but there's a handful of, you know, aunts and uncles or things that'll, when you go to like leave on a Sunday family gathering and you're leaving at 5 or 4, like, where are you going?
Yeah. And it's especially,
and
yeah,
go through the whole thing. Like, well, what time do you wake up?
Right.
2.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, yes, it's been this way for decades at this point.
And my grandmother's someone who has an expectation, classic, like, you know, very typical Jewish bubby grandmother, where she's wants you to be at everything and every event and every family thing is a big deal. And so she needs us to be at all these things. And she doesn't understand. I mean, she understands like lawyer, doctor, accountant. You know what I mean? She doesn't understand this at all. And so when I try and explain to her, she's like, wait, so I thought, you know, you're not working on the overnights anymore. I'm not. This is actually the number one show. I'm in morning drive. So why are you getting up at 2 o'clock? Like, it just doesn't compute, yeah, for her. And it's impossible to explain it. I can't be at this event. Why not? I mean, your third cousin twice removed is getting married. You can't be there on a Sunday night. Well, no, I can't. You, yeah, know, so it's just, that's difficult, especially explaining it to, you know, it's one thing to explain it to people who are sports fans or understand TV or radio or a little, but then explaining it to, you know, someone who is not even in that world, like, yes, it's even more difficult.
It's funny too, for some people, like in your life where, let's say something happens wherein they have to wake up at 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. They got to catch a flight.
I'm
they
going
have,
to the airport at 4. Oh, no.
Yeah, and then they do it that day and go, oh, my God, I can't. How do you do this every day? And then like a week later, they'll be like, why are you so tired? Well, you did it one day.
Exactly.
And you were exhausted.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, so people will never learn. They'll never like be more like sympathetic to it also is like the other day I was with my wife on the way home. We were on the way home from the grocery store. I'm looking at the clock and we're sitting in traffic and I'm getting so angry. She's like, why are you getting mad? I'm like, I'm getting mad because I'm looking at the clock. I know that I have X amount of time. I have to make dinner and go to sleep. And yeah. I am going to be exhausted tomorrow because the longer I look at the clock while we're sitting here in traffic, it might only feel like a couple minutes for you. For me, this feels like an eternity. And there's like a ticking time clock in my head where if I get in bed after 8 p.m., then I'm going to be in my head about how little sleep I'm getting, so yeah. It'll take me longer to fall asleep, and it just creates a vicious cycle.
Yes, it is a vicious cycle.
It's tough.
Now, the other thing I was curious about as a guy who's really just beginning his full-time radio career, what are your thoughts and worries about the future?
So these are conversations that I had with the architect going back a few months, I would say.
And the architect is a guy that runs this place.
Yes.
He runs a lot of places, but
correct.
FAN is one of them.
Yeah, and it was one of the things that when we were talking about me taking this job, it was one of the things I asked him. I said, well, I asked him twofold. I said, what's the future of this show? What does that look like? What's the future of the radio station? Do you think this is a smart career choice for me? And is there a future for someone like me? And he said it'll evolve, that's for sure. And it's evolving faster than ever. And I believe that also. And so they're obviously like the parts that I'm, I guess, nervous about is, okay, what does that evolve into? Like, I obviously got into this and did some more on-air roles when I started. But what's funny is, and I don't know if I've ever told this story before, but when I hosted my first show, it was an overnight on a Sunday morning. And you know, leaving here, it was like there was a sense of fulfillment, right? Like, oh, I just hosted at WFAN. When I left after filling in on Boomer and Geo for the first time, that sense of fulfillment was much greater than hosting the overnight. And it was like, I was board hopping, you know what I mean? But it was just, it meant more to me just to be on that show and to be a part of this show. So the idea for me, and I don't know, because we talked about this yesterday, the roles are going to change, right? Whether it's if Boomer's gone, if you're gone, how the roles will evolve on this show. And I talked to Gio about this also, is like, I want to, you know, I think he's really talented. I think this show has a big brand. I want to hitch my wagon to this show and that brand as long as possible. What happens beyond that, I don't know. But that's where I would, you know, again, I think the state of WFAN, maybe you disagree, I think they're still profitable and we make money and the show does well. And, you know, you were talking about one of the salespeople and what he's pulling in every year. Like, that's something that, again, so there is money here. There is money to be made and the shows will continue to be successful. And for me in my career, I looked at this show as an opportunity to get myself out there, to get my name bigger, to really build my portfolio. I have this on a resume. I'll be doing the kickoff show with Boomer, like, and I'll be on that. Like, that's another thing to put my name onto. So that's the goal. And then I want to, at the same time, continue to grow my social media, my presence on whatever it is, podcast, YouTube, whatever that is, simultaneously with my name kind of getting out there more on the show. And that way, whenever this show does end, I either have other people coming to me, hey, we want you to do this, whether it's hosting or whatever it is, or I have my own platform that's big enough for me to then create content on. But that's how I look at it. The other thing is, because I have experience in sales, and this is, I'm not going back into sales, but because I have experience in sales, I've seen how this place runs. I've worked on every different show here. I've done Yankee games. I think if I see that, hey, I'm not making enough money, this show's coming to an end, I think a role like Ryan or like the architect, I think a management role in this industry is something I could definitely do. I love media like you, like have that mind for it. I love like talking about it, thinking about it. How does this make money? How does this make sense? And I'm very interested in people's career. Like, again, I said a couple of days on the show that I would love to sit down and talk to Mike Breen. To me, like, the media personalities are more interesting than the actual, like, I'm fascinated by Craig Carton. Like, I just am. I grew up, I was a fan of Boomer and Carton. I wasn't a fan of the Yankees as much as I was of almost like Michael Kay and John Sterling. You know what I mean? So that's always interested me. So I think doing something where I'm either managing those roles or creating something, my own company, whatever it would be, that's something that I could see happening in the future whenever this show. But again, for now, I want to be committed to this show as long as possible.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about radio and, you know, the guys have different contracts. You know, all the people on the shows have different contracts. Like even Mike and the Mad Dog, they never, their contracts never expired at the same time. Just like Boomer will, I'm sure, retire before Gio.
It appears that way.
It appears that way, right. So the show itself is not going to end because Gio will be here.
Correct.
And Jerry will be here, right. And I'll be here, right? Or so the interesting thing is that a piece kind of gets exchanged over time. So like Eddie left, but the show didn't end, but the Eddie era of the show ended, right? So that just like when Boomer leaves, that another, they're not going to come to Gio and go, well, Boomer's out, show's over, we're going to go in another direction.
Exactly.
They'll be like, who's, are we going to team with Gio, right?
Right.
So I think that's where it has many years of life left, but you're right, like, what does it become? And
what does my role turn into?
Right.
Meaning if, you know, I think there's speculation if Boomer's no longer here and then you retire, are they going to, most of the shows here don't have a second person in the control room. So does that mean I have to do both those jobs? Does that come with different responsibilities? Does it come with more money? Like all those things are things that I'm going to have to consider. But I do think that as long as this show and whatever iteration it is, I think it will continue to be successful. And as long as this show is successful, I would want to be a part of it.
And as far as radio goes, you know, of course, they've always been, ever since like the classic video killed the radio star, like people were nervous when TV was invented that it was going to put radio out of business. And radio's been going, you know, pretty strong ever since then. I would say
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports talk format is very successful because, you know, music, you can get music on Spotify, and but you can't get the certain personalities in all of these major cities with a lot of sports teams. This is the place to get them.
And the live reaction. I think there's something to it that, like, when I'm in the car and I have either a podcast or I could listen back, sometimes, okay, I get into the car like yesterday at 3:30 p.m. Do I turn on the beginning of the Carton show and hear it from the beginning? No, I want to hear what they're talking about right now. I want to feel like I'm a part of it right now. And then when they cut to commercial break, I'll go back and listen to the beginning on the Odyssey app.
Yeah.
But there is, I think the live aspect of it, like that is irreplaceable in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I like to have a live element.
DMV summers are no joke. The heat, the humidity, the beltway at 5 p.m. AC season is here and your car needs to keep up. Rota is the DMV's most trusted auto shop with over 1,000 five-star Google reviews. From AC checks to oil changes to detailing, we keep your car ready with no hidden fees and no pressure. Plus, free valet pickup and drop-off, so you don't have to lift a finger. Book at rota.com and save 20% on maintenance, repairs, or detailing with code POD20.
The other thing I want to talk to you about in your world, because Jerry and I are two older fellas, and this is something I see so much of, and I'm sure I just brought it up on one of the podcasts recently, which is, but I want to know for you, how old are you, 27?
28.
28. This idea on my YouTube page is that if I were to believe what I see on YouTube, nobody has any money. Nobody can afford groceries. Nobody's going to restaurants anymore. Nobody's buying new cars. Buying a house is impossible. No one has a job. People go and submit thousands of resumes and get one callback. But then when I go out into the world, the concerts are sold out for $700 a ticket. Restaurants, if you don't have a reservation, you are not getting in. Try to buy an airline ticket. The airplanes are booked. Hotels are booked. Disney, you can't walk around in because it's a... What is your experience amongst your age group as far as this goes?
This is like an interesting question because I think my experience might be different than...
Why?
Just because of like the community and friends that I have, where a lot of my friends' parents are wealthier and helping them. And that is just, that's not something that I have in my life, which is, you know, I think that's more normal, but I have a lot of friends who have that. And I was telling you off the air earlier, like there's a community where a lot of my friends have bought these houses, but none of them are paying for these houses. I can't come close to affording these houses, and neither can they. And some of them have decent jobs, and
yeah,
but still not the kind of jobs that can pay for houses like that. And it's just, and I was talking to a specific friend of mine, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm about $4,000 short every month on my basic expenses, and my dad just covers it, you know? I was like, oh, $4,000 a month? And that's like, that's basic. That's like, if just to cover his basic expenses, he's telling me that. And he's has a decent job. Like, this is someone who has a good job. And I was just like, oh, okay. So, and he doesn't consider himself, the craziest part is in that world, he doesn't consider that his parents are supporting him. He has a job. They're just helping out a little bit. And I'm like, that is insane to me. So I do think there's a lot of that. I think when you walk around the city, and especially like in the West Village, and people who aren't from here and people my age who migrate, who moved here from different parts of the country, there's no way that, because I walked around yesterday, middle of the day, and everyone's out. And everyone's out to eat, getting, going shopping, buying iced coffees that are $8 and ice cream. Like, how is that possible, right? Because they're not working. So what are you doing, right? And I see it on TikTok also. Like, what are these people doing? It's all like, oh, I'm in, marketing or social media management. And you're just out and about.
Oh, I see that social media management job all the time. Like, what does that even mean?
And as someone who, when I was part-time here, I was constantly applying to other jobs. Yeah, it is difficult to get a job. So from that aspect, I could tell you, being part-time here, I was constantly putting out resumes. And I would say one in every 10 resumes that I filled out, I would get an answer on, just an interview. And then even then, it was tough to, like, okay, you got an interview. Now you have to go get the job. So yeah, I think people are living way above their means also. And this is like another thing. I could think of other friends who they were telling me, yeah, you know, I'm just crazy credit card debt. It really sucks. Why? You know what I mean? Like, I have one friend who's constantly complaining about credit card debt and then is also at concerts and sporting events every weekend. And I'm like, so I don't understand. Like, those are not things you have to do, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's crazy. Like I said, in my life, I try and live within my wife's means, or now within mine as well. But like, it's just, and I can't, and you know, we're talking about jealousy on the show today, and I can't imagine having the feeling of needing to compete with all that. Like, I am lucky, and maybe this is my own personal experience, but I am lucky that I don't have this sense of, oh, I need to compete, because if I did, I would drive myself insane, because I can't possibly compete with people whose parents are paying for everything or they're in tons of credit card debt. Now, like I said, I do think the job thing is real. I do think it's difficult to get a job today, but then how are people spending all this money? I don't know. Like, you talk about supply and demand. When they panned to the crowd at the Knicks games that were thousands of dollars, there were so many young people there. And okay, young women, fine. Okay, you know why they're there. But like, the young guys there, how? Where? And like, I saw somebody who's in radio, who's a friend of mine, who was posting like, if my kids don't have a college tuition, they'll know why. It's like, even if you took from some sort of savings funds, you spent $8,000 on a game? Like, how? Like,
yeah, so how did, like, you have $8,000 in a kid's college fund?
Right, yeah, how did you have that? It was just, it's crazy to me. So I don't know, but I don't know.
So you would say, of all the things I rattled off there, like, this is what I see. The things that you believe are true are, it is difficult to get a job.
I think so.
And to buy a property is difficult right now.
I would say, yes. There's no way any of these people are, because unless someone's buying it for them. It's impossible. I don't know, and I think about this a lot, because my wife and I talk about this all the time. How are we ever going to buy a house? Now, we're saving, we have money saved. I have, like, bar mitzvah money that I have invested that I haven't touched in 15 years, right? Because it was buying, when I was 13.
Nice.
So we have some of that money, and luckily we haven't had to touch it, and we have money put away. But I don't, like, still, because when you talk about your look at a house today, even if you have like a good down payment and you get a good rate, your monthlies after everything are still at like at least $6,000, and that's before you have a car payment, that's before you pay for groceries, that's before you commute in and out of the city. Like, so that means your monthly expenses at least are now you're bumping that up to like $10,000 a month. And I don't know that there are people my age that can afford that.
Yeah.
It's just not realistic.
One of the theories I heard yesterday on one of these YouTube videos I was watching was that because jobs are difficult to get that pay well, and because housing is very difficult to buy, that people are saying, screw it, I'm still going to live, and I'm going to pay for these concert tickets, and I'm going out to dinner. I can't get a house. I have a crappy job. I'm still going to live my life. You can't stop me. I'll worry about this at another point.
The TikToks that I see that are like, you know, that's a trend, and they all go viral of like, well, I can't afford a down payment, so what's the $8 latte going to do? You know what I mean? It's like, it'll be like, you know that if you skip buying a coffee every day for the next year, you'll save X amount of dollars, which is still only 1% of a down payment, yeah. So buy the coffee.
Yeah, and I that was one of the things, though, like people will, especially older people probably looking at the younger generation, like my generation looking to your generation, oh, I see Rami come in with a Starbucks every day. The reality is a $10 coffee every day is only $300. While that's not nothing, $300 is not the difference between you being able to buy a house or not.
Exactly. And that's the point, that you can't, like, there's nobody who, and when people of, and this is, I think, a lot of the younger people look at the older generation like, well, you guys, it's like, oh, we bought a house. Yeah, you bought a house for $180,000. You know what I mean? Like, you bought it 30 years ago. The prices have gone up so exponentially, and the salaries have not raised at all in comparison. So, like, yeah, I don't understand, again, unless somebody's buying it for you, I don't understand how anyone, I don't understand how I will. And I think if I had to put a timeline on it, I think by the time I'm 33, I'll own a house, or at least, you know, have a very expensive mortgage.
Yeah, I was seeing something where, like, first-time home buyers now are over 40.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, so where, you know, where, that's the number that I'm putting on it, because I think we're looking at, okay, if this money that I have can grow a little bit, we're still saving. Now I'm working also, so that'll, you know, I'll be able to start saving a little bit more than I was previously, or at least, you know, our expenses are now more shared than they were previously. So I'm thinking, all right, okay, based on what we have saved, give it another 2 to 5 years, I think I'll be in a decent spot. But I have friends who have been in a house for the last, you know, year or two that are the same, that are my age, and they're not in small houses either. It's not like they're, oh, they bought a little townhouse and this. No, like, big, nice houses. Oh my God.
An interesting way to do it is if you could get somebody in your family to, quote unquote, invest in a house with you, and you stay there for a couple of years, and then you sell it. You give that person their money back, and then you take the rest of it, and that's how you move to a better neighborhood, a better house. You know what I mean? But it's that initial first house. It seems like you are going to need help from somebody.
You have to. And that's the thing where that's a good idea. Like, I like that idea. And that's what I wonder with all these houses. When your parents, their names are probably on the paper, and they're the ones who pay the down payment, and they're, you know, paying the difference between whatever you're coming up short every month and the actual cost of the house. When you do want to sell that, like, isn't it your parents who get to say, all right, give me the money?
Yeah, like, my investment paid off.
Exactly. Like, how are these people going to then look at their parents and say, oh, no, I sold the house, I'm going to upgrade to a nicer house. Now, you didn't sell anything.
Yeah.
Like, you just took our money. I don't know. It drives me crazy, but I'm glad at least we got to one of your, you know, hard-hitting topics.
One of my main topics, yeah,
yes,
I love that one.
This is definitely in the rotation. We didn't bring it up yesterday, but it's definitely one of
your... Yeah, oh, it's a big rotation topic. Yeah, because I see it all. My YouTube feed is filled with it, and a lot of them are reaction videos to a bunch of TikToks.
Right.
So I could say, here, I don't have a TikTok. I don't. I see a lot of TikToks on YouTube reaction videos where people are like, let's look at people in credit card debt, and it's all TikToks.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I also don't believe, like, the Dave Ramsey's there. That's not real either. That's, he's not living in the same world as everyone else. Oh, yeah, well, then just get a better job and move to Indiana. You know what I mean? Like, no, it doesn't work that way. I have this job. I want to live and work here. You know, I want to live in New York. I want to be part, like, it just doesn't work that way. Oh, well, just cut down on this. I can't. You know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, it's his thing is that you're, because I was actually listening to Dave Ramsey yesterday, that your mortgage or rent should be one quarter of your take-home pay. So in order to have a $2,000 mortgage, which would be very low,
yes,
you need to be taking home $8,000 a month.
And you can't even find an apartment to rent no. for less than $3,000 exactly. in this area. So like that, you're...
Yeah, it's not...
It's just not realistic.
It seems like, you know, California, East Coast is not... That's not a realistic thing. Maybe other parts of the country it is. I don't know. I'd have to investigate, but it just seems like...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That can't be a quarter of your... like, who's giving somebody advice? That goes, well, your mortgage is like half your take-home pay. I feel like that's... I would think that's most people. Their mortgage is half their
especially take-home now with what pay. The, like, if you bought a house recently, what they cost, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to be going upstairs and having some conversations. Hey, salespeople, sell me. Do you guys... I'm the only Gen Z young person who can do TikToks and social media on FAN.
Yeah,
maybe somebody's looking for endorsement deals because I think I'll have Izzo follow me around to the sperm bank and I'll do a video like Jerry did at Great Many.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Pick you, know, you got to pitch yourself.
Here's how you do
these.
It. Here's the cup they give you.
Yeah.
Here's the situation. And this is how I do it. This is what I use, you know, as far as material.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Here's what I use for material when I go to the sperm bank. All right, let's do the warm-up program. I did that with CeeLo this morning.
Covered a lot of those money topics. You wanted everyone to open their books on the warm-up.
Yes,
today,
I did.
So
I sure did. Show us your books. All right. Tomorrow, warm-up show with CeeLo again tomorrow.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is a Friday. And we'll see you tomorrow, Rami.
See you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.